This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, April 28th, 2014. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, life will never be the same. Mother's Day is coming up, and if you're turned off by the hallmark sentimentality of the holiday, there are alternatives. For example, there are many very good, unsentimental, yet richly rewarding poems about being a mother or having a mother. And you can find a good selection of them on our website. It's an inexhaustible subject, really, as Rachel Zucker can attest to. Rachel Zucker is a poet who is also a certified doula and childbirth educator. She joins me now from her apartment in Manhattan to talk about motherhood and poetry and to read one of her own poems. Rachel, you recently published a book of prose called Mothers, and before that you co-authored a book with Ariel Greenberg called Homebirth, a Poemic. And motherhood also pops up frequently in your poems. Why do you think mothers and motherhood have become one of your central preoccupations?
In my own life, becoming a mother coincided with the beginning of my serious life as a writer. Sort of forced me to find my subject matter. And the subject matter was not only writing about my kids or writing about being a daughter, but as much about sort of a kind of crisis of the self or a fragmentation of the self. I know that there is kind of a fear among some women of writing the baby poem, or maybe of some men now of writing the baby poem. I either didn't get the message that that wasn't a good thing to do, or I wasn't able to heed it.
It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, that motherhood as a subject for poetry, for poets, was barely touched upon until probably the 1960s or so. Does that seem right to you?
I think that is right. I think that very little still has been written in a complex way about motherhood in any genre. But I think that the motherhood poems that existed pre-1960s, by and large, were quite, as you were using the word, sentimental or sentimentalized, that it was sort of, oh, my child is so sweet, my life is completely fulfilled. Not all of them. There are exceptions. But I think that in the 60s, definitely the 70s, the 80s, and more recently, we're seeing a lot of poetry by women, and now by men as well, writing about how complex it is to be a parent. And those relationships. I mean, I think there were a few women who were breaking the rules and who didn't care.
Who?
Okay, so Alice Notley, Sharon Olds, Bernadette Mayer, Alicia Ostreicher, Louise Glick also had some great motherhood poems, Toy Derricott, Anne Waldman. So these were women who had children, who were writing either explicitly about their children, were hauling their kids around with them to readings, were engaged in the daily care of their children. And their children, both physically and figuratively, were coming into the poems more and more and more. And these women were not trying to tidy up, you know, the space of the poem.
It's interesting. So just the fact of having children and writing about children can actually change the form of a poem.
Absolutely. I think that might be the thing ultimately that I'm the most interested in. My daily experiences don't feel like they fit into a much more traditional, received, formal way of using language in poetry.
So you're going to read your poem, The Day I Lost My Deja Vu, from your 2009 book, Museum of Accidents. Can you tell us a bit about the circumstances behind the writing of this poem?
Sure. At that time, my older sons, who are now 14 and 13, were probably 2, 3. And I was getting most of my news only from the radio, as I still do, or from headlines. But I never had time to actually read any of the articles that went along with these headlines. And I remember seeing in the Science Times a headline that talked about how researchers had noticed a special kind of brain disorder or brain damage that affected your ability to experience deja vu. And there were these subjects who were otherwise okay, at least this is what I surmised from the headline and like the first two sentences, but they'd lost this quality of deja vu. And I just had this flash where I thought, wow, that's what this experience of being a mother is like.
Brain damage?
Yeah, basically. All different kinds of brain damage and kind of anxiety disorders and learned helplessness. But in particular, you know, we really value and love the ways in which young children are entirely present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we call these the magic years. And it's lovely. And it's also the worst thing ever because you can't reason with them. You can't negotiate with them. They have no sense of past or future. They have no rationality. And when you are with them all day, you fall into a kind of brain disordered feeling like this, where you lose, you know, at least this was my experience, that I was really losing perspective. I was losing any sense of myself as a stable linear force in the world. And my sense of time was very disordered. So I think the poem sort of comes out of that.
Well, let's listen to it. This is not a short poem, so listeners should settle in for the ride. Here's Rachel Zucker reading The Day I Lost My Deja Vu.
The box is like this today, the box I live in. Today, like this. And though similar, so achingly alike, ad infinitum, line over the nine, again, it's always nothing like before. Nothing. Not even the surprise of another so similar day of box living. Once I was marked and markedly different, and at times while hopscotching the grouted mosaic felt, my God, I've seen before a pattern just like this. I've been here, but no more. Now I have never been anywhere else, ever but here, and though I carry on, can't return. Even the day my firstborn son broke me, opened and split, shocked, shattered that quaint notion of before, is nothing more than a rung of how I got a mother's now mind, a strung together beads walk. This moment, this, 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 is not what I expected. Today, my beautiful child eviscerates me. A charmer, a snake, he fits my living heart into his fist, blunt fangs, and I go willingly into love with him. He is every day a new child, and every day I'm still in love means nothing like before. Remember when we used to remember things? Every night say, remember the time? And the smells of the past, and sometimes a portal opened up, and we slipped in there, into the past, rose up to meet us. We were not so all alone then. Our lives had meaning, and we were not born again every goddamn day, but felt it, what it felt like to be there in those lost places, the gone. Remember? Those days, but I can't. Now all of me but this is gone, and I was never a girl. Never but mother, never. Every same day new again. Every day is without a way out or way to look back, to be back, to bring the fabric into a tight pucker or pocket or foxhole or hem, some little space to fall into, a breath like an open grave or little death. Instead, I learn bird names for the shapes and colors and songs around me, though every bird is different from every bird. I learn the map, watch the armies advance. Forward, they bellow and jab mercilessly with their spear points. Go on, carry. And so it is, I haul my sons, step after day, each day so swept away by love and terror, I would sometimes rather kill us all than go on like this, marching, marching, new, new, new day. And when they are just too heavy to carry, I become stronger than is possible and carry on.
That was The Day I Lost My Deja Vu. Rachel, love and terror rule of this poem, especially at the end. And there's that very, very chilling line. I haul my son's step after day, each day so swept away by love and terror. I would sometimes rather kill us all than go on like this.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not literally talking about infanticide, but I felt as a mother that I was choosing over and over again between my own well-being and the well-being of my children.
But in your poem, it's redeemed. That moment of kind of violent thinking is redeemed by marching, marching, new day. And when we are just too heavy to carry, I become stronger than is possible and carry on. That's the implicit comparison with war and going off to war. Both the mother and the soldier are stuck in the present, but they carry on in spite of exhaustion, in spite of all the obstacles in front of them. It's quite a redeeming ending.
Oh, absolutely. And I do think, I mean, women talk about after they give birth feeling like, well, I did that, now I can do anything. You know, I feel that about so many parts of my life. And I think other people come to these feelings not by being mothers or fathers, but I do think that it is characteristic of parenthood that you are routinely pushed beyond your limits and you carry on.
Yeah.
You rise to the occasion. Now, again, like there are other ways that you become a person who is routinely pushed beyond your limits, but not that many.
Mm-hmm. One of the themes of this poem is that there's something about motherhood that can nullify a woman's identity, or at least seem to. What is it about motherhood that can have that overwhelming effect that you're disconnected from your past and you kind of are losing your moorings?
First, let me say that I often slip into assumptions about biological motherhood that I'm trying to not slip into so much because my experience of talking to my friends who have adopted children are almost exactly like my own experience of biological motherhood. But, you know, just the freakishness, frankly, of being pregnant is the first step, I think, in this, where you're one person, but then gradually you start to realize you're two people. And I mean, almost all sci-fi is basically based on like the male fear and fascination with female pregnancy, as far as I can tell. And it is really surreal. You know, and then you get to the point where you can feel the baby moving. I remember toward the end of pregnancy, I had dreams that really felt like they weren't my own dreams. Huh. I had another person inside of me, and I was making a completely different person who was and wasn't me. And then basically the first, I don't know, 17 years of life are a gradual separation process from this other person. There is a real annihilation of the self. I think particularly for women living in our time, when we're often having children later, we often have a sense that we should know who we are as women and what we want. And pregnancy and birth and particularly motherhood create a real conflict between the self and the baby. I don't think it needs to be that way. I think that that's a cultural mistake that we're living through the consequences of. Mm. Our mainstream medicine considers the baby and the woman as separate and actually competing for resources, and that we as women are having a hard time kind of revising that or going back to a time when pregnancy was really seen as a sign of health. That the baby and the mother were not considered separate for a very, very long time, for months after the baby was born. So I think that we're confused as women about whether we're in conflict with our children, whether there's enough resources, intellectual, physical, emotional, psychological, as well as food and space, and whether, again, like having children is a sign of health or a sign of disaster, I think, on some level.
Hmm. Let me just loop back a little bit. I'm being cheeky here, but
sure.
How much of a role do you think sleep deprivation played in the writing, or at least the experience that led up to the writing of this poem?
I think a lot. I think sleep deprivation, and yes, I think that the syntax of this book was kind of is often very wrenched around. I think that the form, the way the poems are kind of spread all over the page, the way that there are times when things slow down and then times when they speed up into a kind of like really rushing, like overflowing explosion of language. That's part of what I'm talking about when I say that I'm interested in not just poems about children or poems about being a mother, but a kind of motherhood poetics or a mother mind or the way in which the process of writing and the form of writing can be radically shifted or has to be radically shifted when one is writing poetry as a mother.
Rachel Zucker, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Rachel Zucker's latest book of poems just came out. It's called The Pedestrians, and it's published by Wave Books. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.